would please take your Bibles and open with me one last time to Philippians. Yes, today we're going to finish this great letter to the saints at Philippi. So open with me if you would please. I hope that you've enjoyed the study of Philippians. I know that I have. I know that God has taught me a lot through it, and I pray that He'll teach me a lot more still, because we have not uncovered all the gold that's here. But I hope that this book has been a blessing to you. We'll finish it today, and Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, we'll start into the Psalms. Next week, Pastor Chuck Anderson will be with us, who is the founding pastor of this church, so I hope that you'll come and bring a friend, and he's going to give us sort of a pictorial history of New Life Bible Church. That's going to be very interesting. But turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read to you verses 14 to 23 and speak to you this morning on the subject of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving, that is the subject that's in view here. Beginning at verse 14. Nevertheless, Paul writes, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In these final verses, Paul was writing to the saints about giving and receiving. You saw that phrase in verse 15. Giving and receiving. And actually, to be more specific, about the account of giving and receiving. If you notice in verse 17, Paul says, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. You're going to learn today that you have a giving and receiving account with God. Here's how that worked with Paul and the Philippians. 10 years prior to writing this letter, Paul gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ along with an example of how to live according to the gospel. They all received that from Paul. And they all began to give to Paul's ministry. And then for a time, they ceased. They ceased giving. Paul says very graciously up in verse 10 that they lacked opportunity. But now their care for him had flourished again like a beautiful flower. And he says in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. And from that verse, Philippians 4:10, all the way to the end, Paul was speaking to the saints on this matter of giving and receiving. Not just giving, but giving and receiving. Again, this is about not just giving and receiving, but the account of giving and receiving. If you look in verse 17, when Paul says, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account, there's an expression there that was a technical term used in banking and commerce in the first century. And the idea is this. You have a giving and receiving account with God. Everything you have has come from Him. He watches how you give. And every Christian is to be involved in giving and receiving. And I know that you who are here this morning, many of you, perhaps all of you, are involved in giving and receiving. You receive from the Lord, from His Word. You receive from God what you have. And I know that most of you, many of you, perhaps all of you, give generously back to God's work, whether it's giving in your offering, giving of your time, giving of your resources, giving in other ways that I don't even know about. You're involved in this. And so my encouragement to you today is to keep going. I want to encourage you to keep going. Keep taking part in giving and receiving. Why? Let me review what we've learned already and add some more to it. First of all, because it is a beautiful thing. If you have your bulletin there, The first item there, it's a beautiful thing. When you take part in giving and receiving, that is a beautiful thing. Notice verse 14. Paul says, "Nevertheless, you have done well." Kalos, you have done beautifully in that you shared in my distress. Paul, as a missionary, had needs. The Philippians found out that he had needs. They gave to share with him, and Paul's needs were satisfied. Very simple, and yet also very beautiful. Beloved, it is a beautiful thing when you give to meet the needs of other saints. Sadly, however, that also is an atypical thing. Second line there in your bulletin, it is an atypical thing. Not common, rare. Notice what Paul says in verse 15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." You remember we looked at the maps last time. And we saw that many churches had received from Paul the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's grace. They had also received an example of how to live. They had also received Paul's love shown in other ways. And yet, out of all of those churches that received from Paul's ministry, only one in the beginning gave back, the Philippians. They were the only ones to give back to Paul's ministry. Sharing does not come naturally, right? You see that in children. It's not natural for them to give generously and to share their toys. What's more natural is to say, "Mine, it's mine." You know what? That nature doesn't change unless God changes it. And many adults still have that same childish, selfish nature to say, "This is mine. I'm not going to let it go." Folks are not generally generous, but the generous church is blessed. And the Philippians were a generous church. And beloved, I tell you, you are the same. Look at the giving record of this church. I think I told you that I was talking with my dad and I was comparing the giving record at his church, a large Methodist church, and I was comparing his giving record to our giving record. And my dad was wondering, how is it that at this church you give far more than at his church? You're a giving church. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing, and it's an atypical thing. It shouldn't be rare. It shouldn't be atypical because, third, it is a Christ-like thing. It is a Christ-like thing. Very simply, in verse 16, when Paul says, "Even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities," he's using terms there that are also found in the gospel when it says that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world and that the Father meets our needs. Over in verse 19, "My God shall supply all your need." This is the mind of Christ that Paul was talking about back in chapter 2. When he said in chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And one way to sum up the mind of Christ is that he gave. Christ gave up his high, glorious position in heaven. He came down among us. He took on the form of a bondservant. He came in the likeness of men. And then he gave his life on the cross. And the Apostle John writes in John 1, verse 16, "Of his fullness we all have received, and grace upon grace." Undeserved gift upon undeserved gift upon undeserved gift. We have all received abundantly. And to then give of our time, of our talents, of our treasures, to then give back to God's work is a Christ-like thing. That's where we left off last time. Now let's continue. Fourth, this matter of giving and receiving is a desirable thing. It's a desirable thing. God desires that you be giving and generous. Every pastor desires that you would be giving and generous. Every church leader desires that you would be giving and generous. Kids, your mom and dad want you to grow up being generous givers. Is it true, parents? It's true. Grandparents and parents don't want kids to grow up being selfish. They want them to grow up being giving. It's a desirable thing. Notice what Paul says, chapter 4, verse 17. He says, not that I seek the gift or desire the gift, but I seek or desire the fruit that abounds to your account. Notice the first part, not that I seek or desire the gift. By this point, it was obvious to the saints that Paul was wanting something. And it's probably obvious to you that I want something from you. I do. But it's not the gift. I can say like Paul, I am full and abound. I'm not wanting more money. Attempts to give me more have been met with resistance. I don't want more money. I don't need more money. I have more than I need. Paul had the same situation. But I don't want you to stop giving. That's what Paul's saying here in verse 17. I don't desire the gift. And notice how he viewed their giving to his ministry as a gift. I view it the same way, by the way. Paul didn't view what he got as something he had earned, as something he deserved, as something they owed him. No, it was a present. I view it the same way. When I get paid by the church, I think that's a gift. I didn't earn this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that you should free me up for ministry. I'm glad that you do, and I'm glad to use all of my time for ministry as much as I can give. But I don't view the church's support of me as something you owe me or something that I have earned or something that I deserve. I really don't. But Paul says, I do desire the fruit that abounds to your account. I'll get to that in a second. But know first that for you to take part in giving and receiving, by the way, it's a two-way street, for you to take part in receiving, coming to church and receiving the Word of God, coming to Bible studies, receiving sound doctrine, even receiving help if you're a member of the church and you're in need, God wants you to take part in that and to take part in the giving. That's a desirable thing. That's a desirable thing. Why? Because we want you to be blessed. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, Acts 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why did Christ say that? He desires that you would give. Why? Because, fifth, it's a fruitful thing. It is a fruitful, profitable thing for you to give to God's work. Notice what he says. I seek the fruit, verse 17, that abounds to your account. Your Bible might say, I seek the interest that accrues to your account. These are financial terms. Financial terms. Remember the parable of the talents? The master gave to 1 5 and to 1 3 and to 1. Well, 10 I think was the minas, but I think it's 5, 3, and 1 in the parable of the talents, Matthew 25. And then after a long time, it says, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. Ace logon is the phrase. Settled accounts. It's the same phrase here in verse 17. I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. The day is coming when you will give an account. So let's talk about this. This is teaching that you have an account with God. It's not a savings account. It's a giving and receiving account. I want you to understand how it works. And I'm sure that you're going to get the answer to all these questions correctly. Who is the source of all that you have? God. Acts 17, 25. He gives to all life and breath and all things. You say, but I worked hard to get this wealth, okay? Who is the one who gives you the power to earn wealth? God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. This was part of the law. You shall remember the Lord your God, because it is he who gives you the power to earn wealth. All right, so therefore, everything you have has come from God. So who do you think sees what you do with everything you have? God. He sees everything you do with all that you have. Hebrews 4:12, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. To whom must we give an account? God. I told you you'd get them all right. So everything you have is from God. He sees what you do with all you have. And one day you are going to settle accounts with God. And the Bible teaches that either you are using what God has given you like a good and faithful slave, or like a wicked and lazy slave. According to the parable of the talents, we all behave in one of two ways. We are either using it wisely, investing for God's purposes, using what He's given us for God's goals, God's aims, or we're using it all for ourselves. God wants you to use what He's given you, not just for your own good. He's not saying you can't use any for your own good. He is saying He wants you to use some of what He's given you for the good of others. And as you do, based on this verse, something happens. Fruit abounds to your account. Who do you think can make fruit abound to your account? You got them all right. And guess what? He does that when you give. God causes fruit to abound to your account when you give. Give and it will be given to you, Luke 6:38. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your, in that place it says into your bosom, which is the same idea as it put into your account. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. The generous soul will be made rich. Proverbs 11, 25. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. Proverbs 22, verse 9. I could go on with a lot of scriptures that show you that God sees your giving record, and He causes fruit to abound to your account when you give to His causes. That's an amazing reality. Beloved, I want to encourage you. Keep on giving of your time generously to God's work. Keep on giving of your talent generously to God's work. Yes, keep on giving of your treasures generously to God's work. Why? Because it's a beautiful thing. It's an atypical thing, but it's a Christ-like thing, and it's a desirable thing. God Himself desires, and it's a fruitful thing. It's also an effective thing. Number six, it's an effective thing. It works. This is so simple. Verse 18, indeed I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. We'll stop there for a second. Again, this is so simple. You come to church and you hear somebody has a need. You pray and you say, Lord, I know that so-and-so has a need. And then you open your heart and you open your hand to give to help with that need. And it may be a need for help around the church building. It may be a need to do some cleaning. It may be a need to give to a cause. Whatever the need is, and you open your heart and you say, you know what, I can help out. And you help. And guess what happens? The need is met. That's so simple. It's effective. It works. And God watches over His own children, and He watches to see the children who are in need, that they're provided for, and the children who have more than they need, that they're giving to provide for the needs of others. And when He sees that happen, He blesses. This is an effective thing. It is effective when you give. The needs of ministers are being met. The needs of ministries are being met. The needs of missionaries are being met. The needs of entire missions are being met. Did you know all that your giving supports? Here's a very short list. And those of you who may be visiting or are newer, it's good for you to know too. Your giving supports a caring pregnancy center in town, ACPC, which we call it often, which provides pregnancy education, consultation, and help to people who desperately need it. That's a good thing, because they are in need. It supports the Wayside Cross in town, which provides food, clothing, and shelter, plus counseling to people who desperately need it. Right, Harry? Amen. That's a good thing. By the way, when people come asking for money, I will direct them to the Wayside Cross. That's a good thing to do. You should say, you know what? I do want to help you. Don't say, I can't help you. Say, you know what? I want to help you. And here's the, I have actually given the help I have for you to Wayside Cross, and you could go down there and they'll give you a meal. They may give you a place to stay, and direct them to Wayside Cross. They might get angry at you because they've gotten angry at me for saying that. That's okay. Take your hits and tell them, I want to help you. I'll give you the address. I could even give you a ride down there. Your giving supports church planting in Brazil through Brazil Gospel Mission Fellowship. Last week we had Dan Anderson with us. who has been planting churches for many years in Brazil. He's continuing to plant churches there. Your giving helps to support that. Your giving supports a church plant in Moscow, Russia, and the Zubarev family. And last Sunday, we had Viktor Zubarev here, who is planting a church in the city of 12 million people. Your giving, you may not have known this one because this is new. Your giving is helping to plant a church in St. Petersburg, Russia. You say, well, why didn't we know about that one? Well, here's, now you do know. And actually, you did know, because a while back we set four goals for the next 4 years, maybe five. One of those goals was to support a new missionary, and we decided to make that one a priority. We had a meeting of the missions team. Everyone was invited. Everyone was invited, but I did end up taking Denise out to lunch. And the missions team suggested that we support a new church plant in St. Petersburg, and we are now supporting them. Your giving helps that. Your giving helps support Awana and Awana missionaries, Joe and Jill Cook, short-term missions overseas like the Philippines trip last year. Your giving also supports children in Russia at Christmas time, special needs of our saints via benevolence. And yes, your giving supports My Ministry Among You, which is a ministry of evangelism, discipleship, shepherding, visiting, counseling, and teaching every chance you give me. That's a good thing. Praise the Lord. It's effective. It works. You say, well, what about our needs? What about our needs? Glad you asked. Glad you asked. Because the God who sees your giving is going to supply your needs. What you're doing is a seventh God-pleasing thing. It is a God-pleasing, even God-glorifying thing. Paul says, verse 18, indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. How pleasing to God is it when you give? Look at the promise which follows. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When you give, it is a God-pleasing thing. And God's pleasure is so great that He gives this promise. I'm going to take care of you. You know what that means? God has freed you up to be generous. It says exactly the same thing in 1 Timothy 6. If we were to look at God's instructions to those who are rich in this present age, you would see the teaching of 1 Timothy 6 is God gives you in abundance all that you need to enjoy this life. Therefore, He's freed you up to give to one another, to give of your time, your talents, your treasures. This is a God-pleasing thing. So what about your needs? Give and they will be met. Be stingy and I don't have a promise for you. Hoard them to yourself and you may be hurt, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Much wiser in God's economy to give. In fact, Jesus said to His disciples when they said, we've given everything to follow You. We've given up our home and our family. We've left everything to follow You, Jesus. Kind of like, what do we get? And Jesus guaranteed, does anybody know the percentage? Anybody remember it? Jesus guaranteed what percent return on that investment? 100%? No. 1,000%? No. 10,000% return. If you can find that anywhere else, in any other investment, go for it. You won't. Jesus, in Mark chapter 10, guaranteed a 10,000% return on to those who have left house or mother or brother or father or sister for the sake of Christ and the gospel. He says, I guarantee you, you'll receive 100-fold times more
with persecutions
in this life and eternal life in the life to come. Yes, you're going to suffer if you give all for Christ, but you will be so richly rewarded. You'll count the suffering as nothing compared to what we have to receive. It's a God-pleasing thing. I want you to notice where he says in verse 18, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma. What is it an aroma of? I mean, because let's face it, when you give offering into the offering plate, or when you give your time to VBS or Awana or whatever, that doesn't necessarily give off a pleasant odor. This isn't talking about a literal odor. So there must be a sweet-smelling aroma of something when you give. Do you know what it is? Turn back a page or two to Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5, 2. And I want you to see what it is an aroma of. actually beginning in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Based on that verse, what do you think it is an aroma of? Love. If you were to go back to Genesis 8 and the very first use of a sweet-smelling aroma, when Noah took some of the livestock that he had on the ark and he presented it to God, it was an offering of love to God. An offering of thanksgiving to God for his grace and his mercy and his salvation. That's what it is when you give to God's work. And how does this apply, this giving and receiving? It applies in every way you can think of. Again, giving of your time to serve and help out around the house of God. Giving of your money to help a missionary or to help a good cause or to help a brother or sister in Christ who's in need. Giving of your talent, playing the piano. You're giving and receiving. Being part of the worship team. Doing the announcements and leading Tuesday night Bible study and being the Awana commander and leading the children's Sunday school when we have children for children's Sunday school. Right? And helping out in every other way. Supporting your husband in doing that and sacrificing the time you might have with him. That's giving and receiving. And I want to encourage you who are doing that. You know what? It's a beautiful thing. It's an atypical thing. It is a Christ-like thing. It is a desirable thing. It is an effective thing. It is a fruitful thing. It is a God-pleasing and a God-glorifying thing. Verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why to him be all the glory? Because who is the source of everything? God. And who gives you even a heart to give? God. That's why he deserves all the glory. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What is Paul giving? Greetings. What are they receiving? Greetings. I kind of miss that part of the Russian church. Every service they would say, is there anyone here who wants to give a greeting? And someone would stand up and say, oh, I bring you greetings from Westcliff, or I bring you greetings from Pueblo West, or greetings from here. And they'd say, well, we all, and they'd say, Prinimayam, we all receive the greetings. And then they'd say, please, when you go back, give greetings back to Westcliff, Pueblo West, wherever. Giving and receiving of greetings. Why? In a word, four letters, begins with L, it's an aroma. Love. That's why. That's why. These last verses are simply one more expression of Paul's love for the saints. This whole matter of giving and receiving is a matter of giving and receiving love, but in tangible ways. And so, beloved, as we finish this great letter, I hate to leave it, but as we finish this letter, I want to ask you to make one commitment. One. As a result of all of the book of Philippians, one commitment. I want to ask if you'll join me in it. I want you to commit to pray continually one prayer. Chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, and this I pray. And what he means is, and this one thing I pray continually. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That's one commitment I want to ask you to make as a result of our complete study of Philippians. To join with me in praying continually. That the love of this church, the love of the people around you, and yes, your own love for Christ and for the church would just increase more and more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragements. We thank you for this letter. We thank you most of all for the love of Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. And my prayer, Father, for this church, whether I live or die, is that this church would abound still more and more in love, in knowledge and all discernment. In Christ's name, amen.